Let us now turn to the passage of God's Word, which we read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6, and we shall read from verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now we see in this incident that Simon Peter made a profession. He made a profession of faith. He made a profession, dear friends, of his faith, not in himself or in any person, but in Christ Jesus. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And you see, the time of a communion season is a time when we perhaps more than at other times speak about our profession of faith. Of course, every Sabbath and every time when we come to the worship of God, and indeed at other times, we should think very much about the faith that we profess. And of course, with regard to some of us, perhaps, what we don't profess. You see, this incident in the life of the Savior brought out a very solemn reality, that there were some who professed by their forsaking Christ, by their walking no more with Christ, that they wished nothing more to do with Christ. You see, they were making a profession. They were making a profession. Every bit as surely as Simon Peter and his fellows were making a profession too. A profession of their faith. Well, here is Simon Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, our subject here this morning, the Lord helping us, is Peter's profession of faith. Peter's profession of faith. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, in considering this subject of Peter's profession of faith, we must observe carefully the time when he gave it and the circumstances of it. And that leads us then to our first point, that we must consider this point, that here was a painful experience in the life of Christ and his disciples. Verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. A painful experience in the life of Christ and of his disciples. That is, of course, his true disciples, such as was Simon Peter. And then secondly, we will go on to notice a plain question from the lips of Christ to his disciples. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? At this time, you see, in these circumstances, when this was coming to pass, when others were forsaken, when Christ could, as it were, perhaps even point to them, forsaking him, going away from him, will ye also go away? What a powerful question. A plain question from the lips of Christ to his disciples. And then we will consider, thirdly, a positive answer from the heart of a true disciple of Christ. Then Simon Peter, verse 68, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Positive answer from the heart of a disciple, a true disciple of Christ. And of course that was his profession of faith. Well then, we must observe that this was a profession of faith that was given at a particular time. At a particular time in the life of Simon Peter, and a particular time in the life of the Savior himself. A painful time, a difficult time. From that time, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. How solemn, how exceedingly solemn things to think even of that little word at the end of verse 66, him, of all people. Oh, how solemn. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You see, we could replace that word. Then many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus, the one of whom it was said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Christ, the Messiah. How solemn. Yes, many of his disciples went back and walked no more. Dear friends, it gets more solemn, as it were, with the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, how dreadful was this. We have to appreciate what the Word of God is speaking of here. They went back and they walked no more with him. With that precious Christ. With that one mediator between God and man. And notice, friends, when they went back and walked no more with him, it was when he was preaching to them such precious truths as these. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. When he was declaring to them solemn realities. And he said, verse 65, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Solemn, humbling truth was being set before them. But instead of accepting it and being humbled by it, and pleading with Christ to open it, expound it, reveal it to them, they went back and walked no more with him, with Jesus, with Christ, with the Lamb of God, with the Son of God, with the Son of Man, with the alone Savior of sinners. Well, this was a painful incident, we believe, in the life of Christ and in the life of his true disciples. And you see, what we need to bear in mind with regard to the Lord Jesus is that he was one who had that true humanity, and of course still does. True humanity. So that we must accept that he felt this keenly. Surely if we accept that a true minister of Christ feels sad and sorrowful when there are those who go back, who walk no more, who turn away their ears from hearing the truth, who have itching ears and who depart, then if the true minister of Christ is troubled by this, is grieved by this, then we must say the holy human soul of Christ was pained by this. Yes, we know that the Savior knew what was in them. Yes, we know that the Savior was not surprised by this behavior. But must we not say that this is the same Christ, you see, dear friends, who said on another occasion, or of whom it was said, I should say, that Jesus was being grieved with the hardness of their hearts. Being grieved with the hardness of their hearts. Think, dear friends, of the conduct of the precious Saviour in relation to the buying and the selling and the getting of gain in the temple precincts. How he overturned the tables of the money changers. How that revealed the pain that was in his heart. How that revealed the grief that was in his mind that men should behave in this manner and make the house of God a den of thieves, house of his father. And so the zeal of God's house did eat him up. And we believe that it was a part, you see, of the sufferings of Christ to dwell in this world among sinners. To dwell among sinners. It was a part of the sufferings of Christ to be betrayed by one of the 12, even Judas. To be denied by another, even Peter. To be forsaken by all. These things were a part of the sufferings of the Savior. And so too this surely, that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. How painful. You see, there was nothing wrong with the doctrine. There was nothing wrong with the earnestness of the preacher. There was no blot in the life of the one who was the master. And yet, even yet, many, not few, many went back and walked no more with Jesus. Well, you see, these things are already revealing. We are either accepting the truth or we are rejecting it. And it is so solemn, isn't it, that Christ did not lessen the truth or lower the truth or change his doctrine. Christ did not go, speaking with reverence, running after these people, begging them to return, demeaning himself. No, here Christ stands as a king. Here Christ stands as the Savior and the Son of God. How solemn then. They walk no more with this same Christ. Yes, it is something not to have walked with him at all. As was true of some in the days of Christ, they were forever opposing him. Or perhaps there were some who were utterly indifferent, totally taken up with their worldly business, cares and concerns. So that even the talk in the villages and the communities of one who was preaching such tremendous truths and one who was working such great miracles did not move them. They were so busily engaged with the things of this world. As is true in our day, when the men, although they may hear of Christ and salvation and eternal life, they are so taken up with the things of this world that they are utterly indifferent to these things. They do not walk with Christ at all. They do not come to the means of grace. Ah, but here is something solemn. Here are those who did walk for a season. Here are those who did find an interest in the doctrines of Christ for a time. And yet, now they went back. They walked no more with him. Well, this is indeed a warning to all of us. You see, all of us have come under blessings, perhaps from our youth, perhaps more recently, the sound of the gospel, the precious name of Jesus, have an outward walk with him, and yet, how is it with us? How is it with us? Are we those who are inclined to go back? Walk no more with this one. To take offense at the cross of Christ. Matthew Henry in his commentary gives a very solemn warning with regard to apostasy, particular sin of forsaking Christ. When we admit into our minds, he writes, hard thoughts of the word and works of Christ, and conceive a secret dislike, and are willing to hear insinuations tending to their reproach, we are then entering into temptation. It is a looking back, which, if infinite mercy prevent not, will end in drawing back. Will end in drawing back. You see, this was a hard saying. That's what they were saying. This is a hard saying. Who can bear it? They were questioning it. It was a thing that was too deep for them. They did not have faith to receive it. Well, then they went back. They walked no more with him. We believe that was a grief to the Savior, the one who wept over Jerusalem, saying, "How often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but he would not. He wept over Jerusalem." Well, then, here was a painful experience in the life of the Savior, but also in the life of the true disciples, Simon Peter and John and James and others, to see those who had walked with them as well as with Christ go back and walk no more, not just with Christ, but also with them. That was a painful experience. That was a testing experience. It was a trying and a sifting experience. And it was a painful experience too. And you see, that is, of course, true even in our own day. That is true even in our own day. When those who perhaps have walked with us the things of the gospel go back, no more have communion and fellowship with us, that ought to be painful to us. That ought to be bitter to us. That ought to be a concern to us. And that is surely a test to us and a trial to us. You see, these people were making a profession. They were making a profession that they no longer wished to regard the Lord Jesus as the Master. They wished no longer to sit under his teaching. They wished no longer to be exposed to such solemn and sifting truths, such as was found there in verse 65 in particular. "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." You see, what a humbling truth. Man's inability. How many are ready to forsake, you see, such preaching and such teaching as sounds forth in this solemn way? The need for the Holy Spirit to bring us to faith, to bring us to repentance. The need for God to save us. The inability that we have of ourselves even to come to Christ. You see how many forsake these things. Prefer some other gospel. Prefer some other Christ. You see how many delight to hear of the Lord Jesus as a social reformer. Delight to hear of the Lord Jesus as one who receives all men, whatever religion they may be, all kinds of heretical truths regarding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many there are who are satisfied with a Christ who is man but not God. You see, many go back, many walk no more with him. That is a grief to the disciples of Christ. Trouble to them. They know what's in themselves. They appreciate and they realize the solemnity of the profession of those who do turn aside. And then, surely they hear the question as Peter heard it, "Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away?" You see, that brings us to our second point with regard to the plain question that Christ asked of his true disciples. "Will ye also go away?" It's solemn, isn't it, and searching that, and humbling indeed, that the Savior used this very serious incident as a way to speak to his own true disciples, to test them, to try them. "Will ye also go away?" As we said already, the Savior perhaps could have even pointed to them. Or at any rate, Simon, Peter and others knew that today were far less disciples than yesterday. That today there were those not there, who once were. What a test, what a trial, will he also go away? You see, the Saviour did not pass this over without improvement. The Saviour, being that great and divine teacher, did not pass over the solemn incident, but that he employed it, and that to speak to his own dear people with regard to something very serious, their relationship to him, the reality of it, the sincerity of it. These have gone away. You see what is so much is implied in this. Will ye also go away? You who have heard the same truths. You who have heard from the same preacher. You who have heard from the lips of the same master. You who have heard the same solemn and searching doctrine. Will you also go away? Will you also go away from me? From my teachings? From my words? From my person? Will you also go away from adherence to and attachment to me? Will ye also go away? And you see, this question was not just to Simon Peter, although he answered. It was to all of them. It was to all of them. Whether their faith was greater or less, it was to each and every one of them. And we believe that this question comes from the lips of the Saviour through the Word and through the work of the ministry and the Word of the ministry. Will ye also go away? Whether you have been adhering to Christ for a long period or a short period, whether you feel your faith strong or you feel your faith weak, whether you are a Peter or whether you are an Andrew or a John or a James or whatever, will ye also go away? There's a question to all, young, old, middle-aged, will ye also go away? You see, there are many places to go. The world, there's pleasures of sin which are for a season. The Apostle Paul had to observe that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Will ye also go away from the sound doctrine? How many do that? They don't like to hear about man's inability. They don't like to hear about the wages of sin being death. They don't like to hear about even the word sin and the solemn realities, the law of God. Well, the Saviour is saying, will you also go away? It is a question, and of course the questions of the Saviour are very searching. We must bear in mind the speaker. We must bear in mind the incident that surrounded this. How very searching this question was. How very pertinent, how very practical and plain it was. Will ye also go away? There's an admittance on the part of the Saviour. Some have gone. Some have gone away. The Lord Jesus is not ashamed of this. He has preached the truth. He has preached it sincerely. He is not surprised that they've gone away. Yes, he is grieved that they've gone away. He's grieved at the hardness of men's hearts. But he can say, will ye also go away? You see? And that is really searching. How searching it is, dear friends, to think that the Saviour, you see, asked this question. And not when he had fed the 5,000. He didn't say then, will ye also go away? Who would have said that? It's too wonderful. They're not going to go away from such a great person who's fed the 5,000. That's not a trying time, you see. The Saviour did not say, once he had stilled the storm, will ye also go away? Will you go away? When they had been saying, what manner of man is this? He didn't say, you see, then, will ye also go away? Ah, but he says it in this situation.
at this time. And that makes it a great test, trial of their sincerity. Others are going away. Others are professing that this doctrine is no longer what they want to hear. What about yourself? You see, that is what the Savior was saying to them. And in this our day, dear friends, in this our day, oh, how searching this question is. On the Saturday of the communion season, a day of preparation, a day when the Lord's people should indeed have a faith and a Savior to profess, will you also go away? Where do you stand yourself with regard to an attachment to Christ? Sincere attachment. A faithful attachment. Attachment that will withstand the others going away. Others that perhaps you have known down through the years have gone away. You also go away. Others, dear friends, that perhaps you have grown up within the church, they've gone away. You also go away. Will I also go away? Others who seem to be somewhat have gone away. Then, says Christ, will ye also go away? Me, my truths, my doctrines, for me as the mediator and the only way of salvation, will ye also go away with them? You see, this incident, of course, reminds us of that incident in the Old Testament with regard to Ruth and Orpah. You see, they had both had such privileges. In the land of Moab, of all places, they had been brought up, of course, in idolatry, in wretchedness, ignorance. But in the providence of God, they had married those who, and come into a family where there was the true God worship. They had been exposed to the truth. And they had, perhaps more or less at the same time, very similar. But we read, do we not, in that book, that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and went back to her own land, back to her own gods. But Ruth clave to Naomi. Ah, yes, Ruth clave to her. But she clave with a faster and closer cleaving to the God of Naomi. You see, they both had affection for Naomi. We're not to say that Orpah was careless and willful with regard to her responsibilities to her mother-in-law. She had a love for her. She kissed her, wept. Ah, but there was something lacking. The adherence to the God of Israel, going beyond the mother-in-law to the God of the mother-in-law. And there was Ruth, and she was saying, entreat me not to leave, nor to turn again from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. Or do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Well, that was a solemn incident in the life of Ruth. A searching one, a trying one, a sifting one. And so too with regard to Simon Peter and others. This was a sifting experience. Those who had been with him and outwardly associated with Christ, heard his words, perhaps seen the miracles, they went back. They walked no more with Jesus. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Well, in the third place, we see that the positive answer was given by a true disciple of Christ, Simon Peter. What a precious disciple of Christ he was. Zealous, precious man of God. Yes, we know that on Thursday morning we considered his denial. And if the aggravating circumstances of that. But we ought not to let that, you see, take away from this profession of faith. We ought not to let weakness and the frailties and the stumblings of God's people take away from the loveliness of Christ, the preciousness of Christ, and the genuineness of a profession in Christ. When that is true and real,
Lord, he said, to whom shall we go? You see, by the grace of God, this man had an answer. He had a ready answer. And he went back, you see, to first principles. That's a good thing to do in times of trial. Go back to first principles. You see, people may come to us, and they do come. Watchtower Society people, Mormons and others, are very strong and very firm in their own convictions. And they may come up with things we've never heard of. We might get to trouble by these things. What we need to do is to go back to the first principles, the Word of God, the things that we have learned, the things that are true and faithful. Lord, he said, there he is. The first thing he does is say, I am still a disciple. That's it. That word, Lord, let's not overlook that. Simon Peter answered, will ye also go away? Said Christ. Oh, what a searching question that was. Lord, he said, I am still a disciple. That's first. I am still here. I have not gone away. What a mercy. If I was left to myself, I would have gone away. But by thy grace, I am here and I can answer this question. Oh, what a great mercy. Friend, it is a mercy indeed if you and I, as we are here today, we are here and we can have this question addressed to us. Could have been otherwise. Could have been away with the world. Long ago, Lord, he says, I'm still here by the grace of God. And you can say it, dear friend, Lord, I'm still here on the Saturday of the communion season. I'm still hoping that I'm a disciple. I'm still trembling and feeling my wretchedness, but I am still here. And I still have this question addressed to me because I haven't gone away. Isn't that a mercy? Those who had gone away didn't hear this question. They were long gone. They had gone. They didn't hear it. They were out of earshot. They had gone to the world or to other teachers and philosophers or whatever. They didn't hear this. What a mercy, friend, that you're here to hear this question. To hear this question here today and to say, before you say anything else, Lord, I'm still here. I'm still on mercy's ground. I'm still here on the Saturday of a communion season. I'm still here on the day of preparation. Lord, he said, to whom shall we go? What a wonderful thing. Is there someone else that we can go to? Is there another master? To whom shall we go? Will ye also go away? I says, Lord, to whom shall we go? He is speaking for himself and he is speaking for others on that occasion. And dear friends, we believe that Peter is speaking for all the true disciples of Christ here today. You can join with Peter and you can say, I couldn't have put it better myself. I say that with acknowledging that I'm no Simon Peter, but I say, Peter, you put it so well. I could not have answered this question better myself. Lord, he said, to whom shall we go? Is that not what you are saying? On the Saturday of a communion season, preparing for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. There is nobody else I can go to who is like Jesus. There is nobody else that I can go to that can give me what the Lord Jesus can give me. Salvation. Peace with God. A hope for eternity. Quiet of conscience. Notwithstanding, as we were hearing last night, daily failings. Ah, there is nobody else who can give me such things. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You see, thou hast the words of eternal life. Perhaps Simon Peter is saying, we cannot fathom all of these words. They are so deep, they are so glorious, but so far from going back and walking no more, we are humbled by these sayings. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. If any man will not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he has no part with me. These words are
true words, they are the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. As one writer notes, his having the words of eternal life is the same with having power to give eternal life to as many as were given. Thou hast the words of eternal life, life everlasting. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, Peter is taken up with Christ. He doesn't have much to say about himself. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. This is our objective faith. This is our hope. This is our glory. This is what I am glorying in. We believe and are sure. We are believing. And as this word sure means, we are knowing. We are believing and we are knowing. We have, you see, there's a continuation there. We are believing. We have believed and we continue to believe. We have known and we continue to know. We continue in this faith that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. And Peter is saying it in these circumstances. Yes, others have gone back. They walk no more with thee. But we are continuing to believe. We are continuing to know. We are to continuing to cleave to this. Thou art that Christ. The Christ of Scripture. The Son of God. The Son of the living God. Oh, what a testimony. Precious witness. And you see, he is saying on behalf of them all, how can we go away? How can we forsake such a Savior? How can we go away from the teachings of such a Master to any other? It would be a retrograde step. It would be a step going downwards and not higher. How can we go away from such a teacher and such truths as he teaches? Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, what a high view that Peter had of his Master. Do you, friend, on this Saturday of a communion season, do you have a high view of Christ? Or do you have a low view of Christ? You see, those of the Watchtower Society say that Christ is no better at best than some great, great, great angel or some great being, but he is not really God. Oh, how far removed is that teaching from Scripture? Thou art that Christ, he said, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. Well then, what a testimony this man gave to the Savior. Wonderful testimony he gave to the Savior. Yes, who else can give us that to which Christ can give us? One writer notes, there is no one else to go to. No one who satisfies the yearning of the heart. There is no one else to go to, friends, for forgiveness of sin. There is no one else to go to for peace with God. There is no one else to go to give us that which will satisfy our souls, but the one who is the bread that came down from heaven, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We believe and are sure. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And you see, we believe that is the testimony that God's people have here today. That is the witness we believe that the Lord's people will bring in coming to the Lord's table on the morrow, if they are spared. They will be saying in their souls, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the testimony. They don't have much to say about themselves. They have no real inclination or desire to get up in front of the congregation and tell their life story. What they would rather do is take their place quietly, somberly, soberly, with the Lord's people, at the Lord's table, and let God have all the glory. Let Christ have all the preeminence. And let them be saying indeed in their hearts, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we are professing, and this is our profession. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son
of the living God.
Dear friends, how interesting it is that the Saviour did not in any way rebuke Peter. He did not say, "Peter, you've gone too far. Yes, others have forsaken me, and I have put the fish in, will you also go away?" And you've given me this great and majestic answer. But Peter, you went too far in saying the Son of God, you went too far in saying that Christ. Not at all. You see, we are to consider carefully, dear friends, not just what God's word says to us, but what it does not say. Where there is a silence, it's profound, profound silence. The Spirit of God has ensured that it would be so, because it was so. The Savior moved on to consider Judas, to consider the one who could not make that profession. But he did not deny the reality and the truthfulness of the profession that Peter made. We believe it was a comfort to the soul, the holy human soul of Christ, that the Apostle Peter was given grace to so answer. As one notes, when the apostasy of some is a grief to the Lord Jesus, the constancy of others is so much the more his honor, and he is pleased with it accordingly. When the apostasy of some is a grief to the Lord Jesus, the constancy of others is so much the more his honor, and he is pleased with it. Well then, how about ourselves? Will ye also go away? That was the question on this occasion. And there is a certain sense in which it is a question, you see, on the Saturday of the communion. Will ye also go away from that wholehearted profession, and indeed wholehearted, perhaps in the case of some of you, obedience to Christ as your master? That Christ who said, "Will ye also go away?" said also, "This do in remembrance of me." You see, and there should be, surely, dear friends, in the heart of the true hearted disciple of Christ, a desire to do the will of the Lord, a desire to be obedient to Christ, a desire to acknowledge the truth that they are a disciple of the Savior, and to be saying and coming to the Lord's table, saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." As John Calvin puts it with regard to the sacrament, the believer is saying by faith, "As I take the bread, so take I Christ. So I have taken him, so I take him again by faith. As I take this cup, so take I Christ. I have taken him already by faith, and do so again by faith." It is a wonderful profession of faith in Christ. O friend, heed the words of the Savior. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? What think ye of Christ? Yes, many do go away and have gone away down through the years. But what about ourselves? Where do we stand? Can we join with Peter in conclusion saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Can we indeed say it? Let's put it more personally. "Lord, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and I believe, and I'm sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." May he bless his word. Let us now pray. O most gracious and merciful God, we give thanks unto thee for the grace and the strength given to Simon Peter to so profess his faith, and to do so also on the behalf of others, of their true-hearted adherence to and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do pray for thy dear people that they may be strengthened to go forward to the sacrament of the supper. Thou wouldst give strength to any of thy weak and tried people, that they would make profession of him of whom they ought never to be ashamed, that they would be saying in their souls, "Come here, I'll tell what he did for my soul." O, do thou bless and pity us, and cause thy face to shine upon each one of us. Part us with thy blessing, do us good in thy good pleasure,
And help us in remaining duties of this day and in preparation for the morrow. And pardon us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us conclude with praise to God by singing to his praise in Psalm number 2, the second Psalm. Psalm 2, from verse 7. The sure decree I will declare, the Lord hath said to me, Thou art mine only Son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and for heritage, the heathen I'll make thine. And for possession I to thee will give earth's utmost line. Thou sheltest with a weighty rod of iron break them all, and as a potter's sherd thou shalt them dash in pieces small. Now therefore, kings, be wise, be taught, ye judges of the earth. Serve God in fear, and see that ye join trembling with your mouth. Kiss ye the Son, lest in his ire ye perish from the way, if once his wrath begin to burn, blessed all that on him stay. Psalm 2, verse 7 to the end, to God's praise. The sure decree I will declare.
Thank you.
the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.